Well, this would be a good time for you all to pray. I'd appreciate it. Well, I put the subject of my message on the board. It's under your feet. I don't think there's any doubt in our minds today that God desires us to have victory over everything. Is that true? I think God wants us to have victory over all the enemy. I don't think He wants us to be troubled by our flesh in anything. This term that I wrote on the board is a biblical one. For those that study the scriptures, you'll recognize that language. And I think basically it just means that something is subdued. You reign over it. You have authority and power over it. It's under your feet. I think of some of the songs like More Than Conqueror. Victory is Mine is one of the songs we sing. There's one that says something about victory is our watchword and song. There's an old song I remember that said something about it was talking about, I believe it come from the place where Peter had walked on the water and looked around and began to sink. And the song says, when the waves are over your head, they're under His feet. He's got control and jurisdiction over all of those things. And I know there's a passage of Scripture that says something to the effect that until all things are under His feet. That's true, but I want to think about what the Lord does for us. That these things are under our feet. Because I am convinced that all the way through the Scriptures that God is a God of victory. And God never intended. I know there's battles and in the Scriptures sometimes, like the story of Joshua, for instance, and God had come to Joshua and had said to him, my servant Moses is dead. Okay? Final chapter. Moses is dead, and now Joshua, you're my servant. I'm going to bless you. They're in your hands. Moses done his job in time, but now Joshua, you've come up and this is your time. And he said, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And if you'll go, be strong now, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And if you'll go, I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to be, as long as you'll be my people, I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to give you the victories. You're going to win the battles. You don't have to look whether they're bigger than you, or you don't have to figure whether you got the right resources or any of that. I'm going to be your resource. I'm going to be your power. I'm going to give you the victories. As long as you stay with me, I'm going to give you the victories. You're going to have to follow what I tell you. You're going to have to stay in line here. But if you'll do that and be my people, I'll be your God, and you will never see the day that you turn your back on your enemy. I'm going to put them all under your feet. Every place, I'm going to put them under your feet. But we know the story. They went and began to have, they had a victory, a great victory, and surely Joshua must have, I mean, his faith must have soared about that time when them walls came down. I mean, when this is, you know, we can have faith and hear about these things and you get that. But when we realize them, when the realization comes, there's something else that happens there. And Joshua and the children of Israel experienced this. And I imagine at about that time, they thought, there's nothing stopping us now. For there was nothing we could do. And yet God put Jericho under our feet. They stood upon the rubble of Jericho and have subdued it. And now we are your conquerors. We have conquered this in the name of the Lord. But we know the story. It wasn't long before something seemed to be so trivial and so small. And almost, I think, Josh, why trouble all of the people with this little place called Ai? Just send a few up there, for they just be a few. But they turn their back. They run from them. Because there was something that had displeased God in that. We know the story. But that was not, Ai was not God's intention. God never intended the Ai. God wanted to give the victory. He always wants to give the victory, folks. It isn't God today that keeps us from victory. God wants us to subdue the place, all the places of our life. He wants the things that trouble us in our lives. He wants us to bring them to Him and Him give us victory over that, that we can plainly put our pennant, our flag on this and say, by the name of the Lord, I conquer this place, this thing that troubled me, whether it be temper, or lust or envies and the strifes or the bitternesses that we can't hardly get rid of. Do you know God wants us to plant our standard on top of that thing and say, by the help of the Lord, that thing that troubled me is under my feet. I can't explain how I could ever have done this, but by the help and grace of God, I have conquered this place in my life that was so bigger than I was. It was ingrained in my family and our attitudes, and it was so much a part of me. And now, by the grace of God, I'm standing on top of that thing. I got victory over that. So I want to start with this thought. And I'm going to read a verse, but I mainly want to just... we're all familiar with the story. But the story of David as a young shepherd boy in 17th chapter 1 Samuel. David as a young shepherd boy and someone that God had given victories in his life. God started giving him victories. Being real to him. He saw God as real. God had helped him, and it wasn't just by chance or by luck, but he recognized God had delivered the lion and the bear into his hand. But David was out of this story. God put David into this story. So we know the story. Jesse, his father, comes to David and says, David, I got an errand for you. I want you to go up, and there's a battle to take place, and I want you to go up and take some corn and some bread and some cheese, and I want you to go up and greet their superior, and I want you to go up and greet your brother and see how your brothers fare. So David takes his journey and goes up. We know the story, but he goes up, and when he gets up there, about the time he gets up there, it sounds like that Goliath, the great Philistine champion, that was nearly 10 feet tall and a massive man of war, had stepped out, as he had been doing. He stepped out to challenge God, challenge the armies of Israel, challenge the church. I challenge you. I challenge you. And David, this little ruddy boy, goes up there and he sees this challenge. But David had something that few had. A live experience with God. Something that was working. And something that was so precious to him. More than anything else, this was precious to him. I believe, if you'll give me the liberties of the way it seems things were, I believe David knew the stories of Moses crossing the Red Sea. I believe he knew the story of the victory that God gave Moses over Pharaoh. I think he knew the stories of all of those that had come after. I think he knew the story, all these different stories that had been told around the fire from the fathers to the children. He knew the stories and how God had delivered them over and over again. And in God, there is no failures. In God, there is no weakness. And in God, there's all these things. And if you put your trust in God, God can give you the victory. And David comes along with an attitude about that. God gives us the victories. This wasn't the story. When David came, this wasn't the story that you're supposed to, the armies of Israel and the enemy is supposed to come and be able to do that. This is not the way Daddy told the stories. He never told me the story where God failed us. He never told the story to where he let us down or that we wasn't able to get the victory. He never told the story. You know, we don't tell that story either. But we can act like that's the story. But that wasn't the story. And he comes up there and sees this and he immediately starts to think, it's God that gives the victory. As a ruddy boy, I'm not even close to a lion's strength. And yet, I got him by the beard and smote him. By the power of the Lord. Do you know, I wasn't going to say this because it's going to be a part of my message. If he hadn't have killed that lion, it would have troubled him all the days that he was there. You think that lion's going to quit trying to get those lambs? Well, I'm going to, the lion all of a sudden is, you know, like the prophecy, he's going to lay down with the lion. No, this lion ain't laying down with your lambs. This is going to trouble you. This lion is going to trouble you in your life as long as you're alive and that lion is alive and well. It's going to trouble you in your life. There is one way to get rid of that trouble, and that's to stand on top of it. There was a time where David was able to stand over top of that lion and say, I have conquered you. In the name of the Lord, I'll put my pennant right here. Lion, you're conquered. No more sheep for you. You're done. So David's in this place that he had experienced the lion and the bear, and God had delivered, and Jesse's stories or whoever it was the stories and that had come down through the ages of how God had blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how Joseph had been. Look, you think he knew about those things? I say he did know about those things. And he knew about how God had delivered in all these ways. For sure. And now, he's looking down on a giant. Can I tell you something about giants? Giants don't change their natures either. That giant, if it wasn't taken care of, was going to trouble Israel all the days of Israel. Goliath would have been there as a thorn to every time they turned around. There was going to be a big booming voice from this 10-foot giant hollering, send me a man. Send me a man. You cowards. Cowards. Who you serve? What God you serve? Our God must be bigger. You guys can't even come down here. All the days they're going to hear the accusations. They're going to be made guilty. All the days they're going to have to deal with the giant that they can't subdue. If they had only realized that this giant, one way or the other, oh Lord, this giant cannot remain in this land or we're done. We're never going to have a testimony in the world around us as long as this giant is here. You know, it's really kind of the same in our own lives. There can be things until this is took care of. I'm never going to have the testimony that I should have. Because the testimony to the world has to be, our God is able. When we go and we deal in the streets and we talk to people, that your addiction isn't bigger than our God. There has to be a reality to deliverance from in God. There has to be. And I'm glad, so thankful for the testimonies we've been hearing, because it's not enough. Yes, we have faith in God, but it's not enough not to get some answers. There's not enough not to have the testimonies that says, yes, God heals. Yes, we go through what we're supposed to do, but God does His part too. There's giants that can be laid down. So in this story here, we know the story, but David comes up and he says, Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God? Here's the key. Not just armies, not just men, but armies of the living God. The one that makes us more than conquerors. The one that gives us the victory in our lives. Well, who is this man? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He put him down right there. Put him where he's at. Uncircumcised Philistine. We're bowing to that. We're given to that. He's running and ruling our lives. We're cowering and we're not what we're supposed to be to stand up and proclaim the great God of creation. But we're humble to an uncircumcised Philistine. I think David so kindled at that time that he was willing to go down there even if he had to die. That this is a cause, he says. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to the world for us to proclaim that Christ is who he said he was? Do you know he was made? We can say a lot of things and they're all true of why Jesus came. He came to save us. We know that's all true. He came not to condemn the world, but save the world, all that. But you know that the scripture says that he was made manifest that he might destroy the works of... He was made manifest to put Satan under his feet. He was made manifest, not Satan in some ecclesiastical realm. In our hearts, in our lives is where the lightning fell from heaven. Here's where you stand on Satan. He came to give us victory over the works of the devil. That we might have victory and be able to proclaim Christ, as deliverer. He was made manifest to do it. David comes up and you remember his brother said, I know the naughtiness. I know your naughtiness. People will always have to do that. They will always, don't take that seriously. They'll always have to throw cold water on somebody that's got fire if they're not fired up. Because it just ain't right. I mean, come on, little brother. I mean, little brother? Eliab was tall, good-looking man, and here's a ruddy little boy. I know the naughtiness of your heart. Down here it was saying, why ain't I man enough? Why ain't I got something that I would say, I'll go down there and take him on? Why don't we all have fire enough to do that? But David said it. And he said to the side like this, the way the scripture explains it, is there not a cause? And then he turned and said, is there not a cause? Of who we are as a nation. Do you know our whole nation depends on this battle? We proclaimed the living God. We have proclaimed creator of the universe. We have proclaimed the one and only. You're going to proclaim that and then this guy going to do that? Somewhere there's some disconnect in the way you live. So you know the story. They take him to Saul. I don't know what Saul was thinking, but he had something. He was thinking something. Well, here, take this armor and all the armor. That, and David takes his journey down and send me a man, he says. Send me a man. And, oh, he must have been, he must have got angry. I'd say Goliath was angry when he looked and see. I think they thought he was mocking him. Because here comes, you know, I mean, he's thinking about some, at least something. And here comes, in my mind anyway. Got a little pouch on him. Coming in. Starts digging in that bag where he put those 5 smooth stones. He starts digging in there. What? You come with your stick? What am I, a dog? What are you all doing? What joke is this? Doing this? I didn't come with you with sword and spear. I didn't come with you because I'm mighty. I didn't come with you with any of those things. But you're about to be under my feet. Because we serve a God that's able. Folks, God is able. Jesus said, you believe I am able to do this unto you? You believe this? Do you believe that I come to conquer your inhibitions? I come to conquer your weaknesses. I come to conquer and make you something that you're not. And if anything I can say in my life, I feel like what the Lord's done for me is made me something that I'm not. I feel like my whole life of living for the Lord made me to be something that I'm not, to the point that there was a time that I didn't recognize myself. I said, who is this guy that's doing this? It don't seem like it can be me. God is making something else because he's able to do it. He can take something. And I remember the time that I just told the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I don't feel like I'm able to do what you might want me to do, but I feel like I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. So have your way. And he had his way. I'll repeat a story I tell, but when I was in high school, I was required for the class, you couldn't pass the class without it, to give a 3-minute oral report. Everybody in high school, she was the only teacher that did it, but she required a 3-minute oral report, and everybody just hoped that they didn't get Miss Varney for that teacher. But I got her. And it come up to the time you're supposed to do a 3-minute report, and I think you all look at me and say, well, he could give 3 minutes. He talks and talks and talks and talks. But that wasn't the case back then. I was very shy and backwards, and no way I could stand in front of anybody and do that. But I had to do it for the class, and I remember when she called on me, and I got up, and it was so nervous and so out of place that I started giving my report so fast, and I was talking so fast that the whole class erupted in laughter because I was just going so fast. And she stopped everybody and made them, you could imagine, I had very, very bright red hair when I was young. And my face was brighter than my hair was. And I was terribly embarrassed. So the teacher gets everybody quieted down and said, go ahead. And when I started off, I intended, I'm going to slow down and give this report. And I was faster the second time than I was the first time. And the class erupted in laughter. And the teacher said, Marty, just you sit down and you can give yours tomorrow. Now you can imagine. No way. It's now or never, Miss Barney. I gave the report. And there was no way. No way that I was ever going to do what I'm doing right now. Except for a God that's able. It's a God that's able. Do you know those kind of inhibitions? And you always have your personality. And people that know me well know that I'm introverted. And they know that I'll sneak out of crowds and I'll go somewhere by myself. And they all know the way that I am. But I'm going to tell you what. God can give us grace to do and overcome those things in our life. You can't say, Lord, I can't go. I can't speak. He's going to call me for a witness for you. He'll call somebody for a witness because God's able to take care of the things that you think's the biggest giant in your life. The thing that you absolutely can't do, God's got grace enough not only for you to do it, but for it to be the greatest blessing to those that are around. He'll make fruit come out of that thing like you could never think. And he can put these things under our feet. And we can go on and be whole. So here's the story. David goes down and he faces Goliath. And Goliath had his words for David. And David told him, absolutely, I come. You come as a man of war. You come with power and you come with strength. But I come in the spirit of the Lord. I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord that can do everything, and by His miraculous powers, He can do all things. He's protected us over the years driving unbelievable things that God has done. God can direct. Well, you can say that, I think at one point it said David had 1,100 left-handed men that could throw a rock and hit a hair's breadth. That's the end. This rock didn't go by his skill necessarily. This stone was ordered by providence, and it was ordered by the Lord. And this rock had speed, and it had power, and it had direction, and it hit just where God aimed it. He just had a little boy to throw it. Well, there's a scripture. 50th verse, it says, so David prevailed. I'll go back to 49. And David put his hand in his bag, and took him a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. Countersunk this thing. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Now, I want us to get a picture that I hope sticks in your mind for the rest of your days. And if you want to, you can put you in that place. But David stood on top. He went and stepped up and he stood. I want you to get the image of a little boy, a little ruddy boy, standing upon the great champion, man of war, standing up on top of him, under his feet. He had, by the power of God, he had subdued him. And this image that I want to paint in your mind of this little boy standing upon the giant represents all the giants that faces our life. All of them that faces of life, you're not going to compete to get bigger than the giants. You're not going to compete to try to outwar them or outthink them or outdo them or anything like that. It's the Lord. There's a scripture that says that. It's the Lord. It's Jesus that gives us the victory. We can gain the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one that gives us the victory. We can count it so. It's the victory that the Lord wants us to have in our lives. So we face many things. And I'm not going to tell you in the Christian life that there's not battles that are longer than this one. There's battles sometimes to where it looks like the giants all the way around us, and it looks like that we're going to be defeated sometimes, and it's long and it's hard and it's tough to do. But I just want to encourage you today that the Lord gives us the victory. And if we count it so, isn't that one of our scriptures? Count it so. If we count it so, we can have the victory. And when it looks dark, now I think it's in the Psalm somewhere, it's 18, but there's at least a picture I get in my mind that it says that he bowed the heavens. And what my mind gets, I don't know if this is accurate, give me liberty, but what my mind was is this dark foreboding storm and black and dark, and it's like he's saying that he bowed the heavens and he bent them down, and then it says that, and this is the way Christ came, and it says, and darkness was under his feet. He came in the light of the gospel, in the light of God. He come and he bowed the whole darkness down and bent it down, and he stands on top of it. Our world is full of darkness, folks, but there's no reason for us to be dark. This world is, there's a lot of misunderstandings and darkness, and the world's even getting darker in the understandings of, I mean, Lord help, but what is a woman and the transgender and these and theys and all of these things that they're doing, and the darkness is prevailing and prevailing, but it don't have to be dark in our souls. Jesus bent the whole thing down, and he comes and he lights and he stands. His darkness is under his feet. There's nothing dark about him. It's light. When we need understanding, when we need understanding about something, Lord, I don't know if you run into those places, but it's fairly regular. I run into a place, I mean, just living life, not trying to figure out some kind of, you know, formula, some big formula or something. I'm just talking about, what do I do in this relationship? What do we do with these people we're trying to have? What do we do? Darkness is under his feet. There's nothing dark about, not understanding about the Lord in that. He knows what those things is. And he can help us in those kind of places too, to conquer all the places. You know, we're a product of, necessarily would respond to things differently from being raised in central West Virginia than some of you folks in California. Now, it's a different place. It's different. It's different from Louisiana culture to Wisconsin where we were. It's different. And people see things and look at things. We are a product of the culture around us. You know, I'm a product of Dorland Clevenger. He was my dad. You know, I'm a real product of his. Because as I grew up, he taught me things. He had opinions about things. And those opinions are strongly connected to the way that he's seeing things. And I'm a product of that. I'm a product of an individual creature that God made. With all of that not being, I'm a different personality. I got different fingerprints. I got a different. We have all of this stuff in us that makes us so unique and so different about all of that. But no matter what has influenced us, I mean, I've mentioned it many times that, you know, especially my mother's side of my family, they had a certain rawness about them. My grandpa had a certain, I don't know, meanness about him. There's a certain just tell you type thing. And don't you think I ain't seen that come down through the generation too? I've seen it. It come down hard. I can see those kind of things, whether it's picked up as a child or if it's genetic. I don't know, but it's a family structured thing that we have. Do you know I'm not bound to that?
That's right.
I might have it strongly, Brother Darrell, but I don't have to. Must I in sinful bondage be? Deprived of peace and liberty? Do I have to be subject to the things that don't work well? Paul said that all things are lawful for me, but all things aren't expedient. Am I bound to the things that aren't expedient to me? Or can I rise above the things? Can I actually have power and strength to overcome the things that trouble me in my life? That make me dysfunctional in society or in relationships. Am I always bound to that kind of place? No. Not bound to those kind of things. He's a God of victory. But yet people failed. God was a God of victory all through the... God didn't change none of His attitudes or ways. Through the whole Old Testament, the people of God was in trouble the whole time, and they was doing things. Why? If God's a God of victory. They quit applying themselves to the God of victory. David got victory because he went in the name of the Lord. But those that didn't, there was failures after failures after failures. And I want to tell you something else. This is so much counting on or determined by the fact that we're connected to the vine is so much. I want to tell you the answer to most everything that you run into in your Christian life is whether you're connected to the vine or not. That's where the victory's at. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Jesus said in that very reading, without me, you can do nothing. So here was the victory that they was to have when they, and David himself, with the great victories he had. David was a man of God, chosen of God. God put him through the test to make a good king out of him. David had the experiences of getting the lion and the bear, and he was honored above all. He was a high water mark of kings. You don't go back to Saul and say they was either like Saul or they wasn't. It says you go back to Father King David. He was either like King David or they wasn't. He was the high water mark of it all. And yet there was a time to where he allowed himself, and you can go to 2 Samuel 11 and start in the first verse, and you'll find out where a man got himself away from all the psalms that he had written, the songs that he had sung, the blessings that God had poured out him in gifting, all that he had done and all of that. Do you know that he did not get a much victory right there because he had separated himself off from what he should have been doing? And that happened to every one of us too. God intends for us to get these things under our feet. And there is an illustration here. It says that he fell to the ground. It sounded like he was dead with a rock into his forehead. But he didn't have no sword in his hand. So he took Goliath's sword. And a sword isn't just, this wasn't just a memento, which it was a major part of after that was the representation of this victory. They kept that sword. That's not what that sword was for. We don't want this giant ever coming back. This one is not going to have any potential to ever trouble Israel again. If they hadn't took care of Goliath, I'm going to tell you, he would have been a thorn in their flesh, and he had four brothers. I think Brother Paul said one time that's why David picked up five smooth stones, because Goliath had four brothers. You might have to contend with them. But he would have troubled them, and he had got his brothers. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to take, you got to take care of the giants. Back in World War II, after the European campaign was over, the Japanese were being bombed literally to death. It was horrible, the amount of people that were dying and all of that. There come a point to where they started thinking about how they had been taught, their society had been taught all of the generations before them the great shame in surrender. It was, you should die, not ever surrender. And that was so part of that culture that they was just going to stay to the last no matter what. It ended up getting so bad and so brutal that they ended up saying, how can we get out of this? But the United States had determined there's only one way out. Unconditional surrender. We're never going to let you do what you've done before. This is what they did. This is why it was important to cut Goliath's head off. There's things in our lives that we need to get some, and we need to put the final nails in that thing. By the help of the Lord, I want this under my feet once and for all and forever. I want to be more than a conqueror in these areas of my life. I don't want this enemy to ever rise up to me again, and so I will not accept. I'm not going to accept putting that thing off in the corner. I'm not going to accept it being on the mantle. I'm not going to accept for it to be touching my life every once in a while. There are some things you've got to get rid of that thing and put the nail in. And you know what? The Lord come to give us that kind of victory. I believe that God is a God of victory. And that when we go forth and we proclaim the living God, there's got to be something behind that. That's not to be idle. That's to be absolute. We serve the God of all creation. He can do anything. We should live our lives like He can do anything. And when the things that happen in our life that doesn't seem right about it, I want to tell us our faith needs to kick in, for that's still God. It's still God no matter what happens in this world. No matter what God decides to do to stir the populace that He might save some, His people ought to be resolute that I'm serving the Lord. This is God, and I'm going to be right there with Him no matter what. God's not the failure, folks. If there's any failures, it's in us. And He wants to put these things, all these things, under our feet. So I want to look at another scripture. I think it's in Matthew. You might pick it up. Oh, maybe it's Luke. Well, let's get Romans 16 and 20 first. Says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You know, sometimes the devil comes with such a flood, and there's so many things against you, and you see all these things, and sometimes it might be physical illnesses, and sometimes it's oppositions of people, and sometimes it's these things that crowd and crush our mind, but you're something that says God does not want Satan to be the master of any part of our life. You tell me what part of life that God wants Satan to be the master of in our life. He doesn't intend Satan. As Jesus said, that the prince of the air comes, he finds nothing in me. There's not to be a place that the devil's to have place in our life. He wants to put him under our feet. We are, as God's servant, not by anything that I am or that I've attained, some kind of personal thing other than I have the Lord, and that gives me the right. That gives me the position to say to Satan, no, you can't interfere in my life. You can't do that in my life. You are subject here. You're under God. Give me the ability and power, because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. I got a power and authority. He wants us to have that kind of a power and authority in our life. He wants these things to be under our feet, that when these things come, when the things that hurt come. He don't want the devil to be able to bring that to us, to where there's bitterness in our life or unforgiveness in our lives or there's places in our life. He don't want that to grow in there. He wants us to be able to have power over that thing. There's nothing you can bring or do to me that's going to cause me to do that because of the Lord. That may be a giant. I knew someone one time to come to me and told me that what hindered them in being saved, and I think Brother Clint Crummy would know what I was talking about, but he told me that, said that what kept them from being saved for years and years and years was an unforgiveness. There was an unforgiveness that they just could not do something that was just wrong. You know, you can be wrong. You can be wronged, and you can know it's wrong, and there's no doubt about it. But there's still victory over that. There's victory over the losses and the things of those kind of nature. And I'll tell this story to the glory of God, too. You may have heard it, but I come home one time and went to a place I had, and I had a little woodshed lean-to in the back, and I'd put my chainsaw up there, and I come up to get my chainsaw, and my chainsaw was gone. And there was a IBC root beer bottle sitting right where my chainsaw had been. That made me so upset. Now, I was serving the Lord, but when I seen that my chainsaw was gone, and I thought not only was it a thief, it was a smart aleck. And they put a bottle there in place of my chainsaw. And I was huffy. I mean, I was honey hurt. I mean, I've been violated. I felt violated. Somebody come right up to my place and stole my chainsaw. And I had been praying. I didn't even think about it at the time, but I had been praying over the day. My prayer had been a surrender. Lord, everything is yours. Lord, everything is yours. This is what I've been doing. Lord, everything is yours. Everything is yours. I mean, I've been praying that for days. You know, every time I was praying, I was, Lord, this is where I'm trying to get. Everything is yours. So I was huffing down the driveway and over my chainsaw being stolen, and I actually said, Lord, somebody stole my chainsaw. And the Lord said back to me, whose chainsaw? Do you know that changed things for me? Whose chainsaw? And I literally said, Lord, somebody stole your chainsaw. But it was different after that, because he's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. God's got chainsaws all over the place. And you want to know the ironic part of the story? In a little bit, my brother came up. There was a tree that fell across the road, and he knew where my chainsaw. So he went and got my chainsaw. He brought my chainsaw back. It was his root beer bottle too. But nobody stole my chainsaw. You can lose your soul over what didn't even happen. We are not. It's not important. The scripture says something about the abundance of the things thou possess. That's not what you're made up of. It's so trivial. Lord, give us the victory. Put this flesh, Help us to have this flesh under our feet. Give us the power and the strength that we can stand as an authority in our own lives. I'm not going to try to stand on you. I got too much to stand on here. Lord, help me to conquer by your grace this man. That I can walk uprightly in integrity. And when the world looks on, that they see something of God Almighty. The one that gives the victory so that I can say, brother, if it's hurt you, God's got an answer for you. He gave me the victory. And he can give you the victory over anything in your life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.